in just a moment from Acts chapter 16, verse 11, and we'll be reading down through verse 18. Acts chapter 16, from verse 11 down to verse 18. I have not read the book, but it has an amazing title. It was Philip Yancey's publication some 20 years ago, What's So Amazing About Grace? What a great title. We sing Amazing Grace often. I wonder if someone were to pull you aside after a service and say, Why do you sing that hymn? Why is grace amazing? How would you answer that? Well, every now and then in the scripture, God gives us a glimpse into his grace, which is truly amazing. God's grace is always amazing, but sometimes it sits in clear relief. That's what we have in these eight verses. I want you to be thinking about that question as we read from God's word together. Before we read, let's ask his help in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for it is your word. And we pray that you would give us hearts that would hunger for it. We pray that by your grace, we would attend to it, that we would receive all that you have spoken in faith and respond with the obedience that is your due and our delight. And we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Hear now God's word, beginning at Acts chapter 16 at verse 11. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination, and brought her owners much gain by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to you the way of salvation. And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. Thus far, God's holy, inspired, infallible, and inerrant word. May he be pleased to add his blessing to it. We are now back with the Apostle Paul on the road a second time. He has visited his old stomping grounds in Syria and Cilicia. You read about that at the end of chapter 15. But he is cutting new ground as we come into Acts chapter 16. We've seen Luke show us that it is the Holy Spirit who is directing his way. The Spirit has assembled this team, and the Spirit is keeping them from going some places and steering them into other places. And the place the Spirit would have them go. And you read about it in the two verses just before our passage is Macedonia. Come over, this night vision says, to Macedonia and help us. And the team concludes, God has called us to preach the gospel to them. And so they make their way to what we now call Europe. And things start off really, really well. Verse 11, so setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi. The whole trip takes all of 2 days. Now, when they make this same trip a few chapters later in Acts 21, it takes them 5 days. Why the difference? Because on this leg, the winds are favorable. God, it seems, is smiling upon their endeavors. And then they come to the pearl of the cities of Macedonia, Philippi. It is a major city, and it is a Roman colony, an outpost of Rome. Its citizens are citizens of Rome. And the ministry that Paul would begin here carried much promise. And yet for all of that promise, it's a disappointing start. There is no synagogue in the city of Philippi. And so the team on the Sabbath day, verse 13, goes outside the gate to the riverside where we suppose there was a place of prayer. Later, rabbinic tradition said you needed 10 men to make a synagogue. And if that standard were in place when Paul visited Philippi, it meant there were not 10 Jewish men in the whole city. Whom do they meet by the river for prayer? They meet women. And Paul begins to minister. What does Paul have to show for his efforts after he begins to minister in Philippi? He has one convert, Lydia. And there is a slave girl freed from the spirit of divination. It's not much to show. And then how does Philippi repay Paul? He is seized by a mob. He will be beaten, unjustly imprisoned. You can read about it in the rest of this chapter. You can imagine the team asking themselves, what's God doing here? What is God doing with us? Well, God is doing something. He's showing his servants just how amazing his grace is. And in particular, we see in the life of Lydia and in the experience of this slave girl, the power of divine grace. That's what I want us to look at this evening. First, look with me at Lydia. I want you to see the power of grace in conversion. Look at the work of God's grace. What does God do in the life of a sinner? We're introduced to Lydia. Who is this woman? She's an amazing woman. We're told three things in verse 14. She is from the city of Thyatira. If you read the revelation of Jesus Christ to John, you'll learn this is one of the seven churches of Asia in the orbit of Ephesus. That city had a church. And that is the city where Lydia is from. You remember the Spirit prevented Paul from going into Asia. And so Spurgeon says, God will bring Asia to Paul in this woman, Lydia. What has brought her all the way from her hometown to Philippi? Well, that's the next detail. She is a seller of purple goods. She is a traveling businesswoman. She is not going from door to door hawking encyclopedias. She is not that kind of businesswoman. She is a seller of purple goods. These are expensive luxury items that are sold and traded among the elite. If you want a Patek Philippe watch, you'd better save up. A Midland one will run you at least $200,000. A nice one will set you back a couple million, if you can find one. And you won't find one at the Walmart. You need a woman like Lydia. She moves in high circles. She is an international businesswoman. And she is a worshiper of God. That means she is a Gentile woman who has attached herself to the synagogue. There is something about this God. There is something about his word that intrigues her. And what does God do in the life of this woman? In his providence, he brings a guest preacher to the river that morning. I don't imagine there were many guest preachers who came to the riverside at this place of prayer on the Sabbath morning. Lydia shows up. She sees the other woman. Here's this man and some other men with him. Who is this fellow? His name is Paul. He's our guest preacher. I've never heard of him. We'll give him a listen. It seems to Lydia as she woke up this morning, this will be one more Sabbath. But it's not. We're told in verse 14, the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. The Lord opened her heart. Do you remember at the end of Luke's gospel, as Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, appears to his disciples? They had heard him teach. They had heard the scriptures read from their mother's knee. But Jesus did something on that occasion. We're told in Luke 24 at verse 45, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. The scriptures come home with renewed power. And it is that work that Lydia experiences for the first time. It is an immediate work of the Holy Spirit upon her heart. She had come to that riverside with a closed heart, and the Lord opened it. He took out that heart of flesh, that heart of stone, and he gave her a heart of flesh. He is shining his divine light into the darkness of her heart. And what does that mean? It means very simply, she paid attention to what was said by Paul. Scripture's not saying that on this occasion she wasn't distracted. It's saying more than that. When Paul, as the ambassador of Jesus Christ, summoned her to repent from her sin and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of sin, she responded. She listened, she hearkened, and she turned to Jesus Christ. And as Christ, the Messiah of God, is offered to her, she closes with him in the gospel. We see the work of grace in this woman's life And then Luke shows you the proof of grace in this woman's life. What is the fruit? What is the evidence of this work of God in her life? Look at verse 15. And after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. What is the fruit? What is the evidence of this great change? One word, obedience. She is obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Scripture gives you two instances of this new obedience. In the first place, she is baptized. She is baptized not because she wants to, not because Paul told her, but because it is a command of the Lord Jesus Christ through his servant Paul. And she presents her household for baptism. She is the head of her household. She has children and servants. And she knows the words of the Apostle Peter. This promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off. And as God placed his covenant sign on Abraham and his household, he places it on Lydia and her household. And she's obedient in another way. You see, the Lord opened her heart. Now Lydia will open her home. She will open her home to the Lord's servants. You have to appreciate what she's doing. She's not inviting a few people over for coffee or for lunch. She is going to house a team of missionary men for the long term. Her home will be the base of operations for the mission in Philippi. And it will not make her popular. It will not raise her profile among the elite in Philippi. Why does Lydia do this? It's what godly people do. It's what the godly women who attended the ministry of Jesus, Luke chapter 8, did. They provided for him out of their goods. And look at Lydia. She fights for the privilege. Verse 15, she urged us, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. Lydia is a businesswoman. She is an innovator. She is a negotiator. She works with hard-nosed, powerful people. She knows how to sit across the table and close the deal. And the grace of God doesn't make her into a shrinking violet. It takes that God-given temperament and transforms it in the service of Jesus Christ. And she is insistent to show hospitality to this team. And she lays down the gauntlet before the Apostle Paul. Paul, do you think I'm a believer? Then come stay at my house. And look at the way Luke describes the outcome. She prevailed upon us. What understatement. She prevailed upon Paul. Paul, who would say to the church in Corinth, shall I come to you with a rod? And he meant it. And Lydia lays down that challenge, and Paul stands quietly and says, yes, ma'am, we'll be there. So there is the power of grace in conversion. God's work and its evidence. What does this say to us? Here is the sovereign and powerful grace of God. God will save. And he saves whom he will, He saves when he will. He saves how he will. He saves whom he will. Lydia's heart is opened. But there were hundreds, perhaps thousands in Philippi whose heart remained closed on that day. God saves when he will. She was a regular attender at the synagogue. She heard the law and the prophets preached every Sabbath day. This Sabbath is different. God opens her heart. And he saves Lydia how he will. Here is the Apostle Paul, and God converts him by blazing light and knocking him off his horse. And Lydia is converted quietly, powerfully, and truly as the word of God is read and the Spirit gives her that new heart. You know, everybody has his own story. I gathered with lunch at the end of this week with a friend and someone I was just getting to know. We spent an hour sharing how the Lord had brought us and our families to faith in Christ. That hour was wonderful. And God did it differently in each of our lives. He did it differently in each of your lives. But I have to ask you the question. Have you experienced what Lydia experienced? You're a churchgoer. So was Lydia. But the Lord had to open her heart. Has the Lord opened your heart? And how did that happen? It happened as she sat under the word. As the Lord brought home her sin. As she heard of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived and died on that horrible cross for sinners like her. And she came. She said yes. And she turned her back to sin. She turned her face to Jesus Christ. And it wasn't Lydia. It was God's grace. And if that has happened to you, you just want to tell it out. You love to tell the story of what God has done for you. And then let me ask you a question. What is the evidence of sound conversion? How do you know that you're a Christian? And there are all sorts of wrong answers on offer, even within the church. But here it is. It is a heart and a life that are set apart for the Lord. That will serve the Lord Jesus Christ, come what costs may. And you say, but I'm not Lydia. I don't have her resources. I can't do what Lydia did. But look at what Lydia did. She was in the business world. And people in business, as people anywhere who do not know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, are serving themselves, amassing wealth and influence and power and fortune for self. And you see the work of God's grace in this woman's life when she says it is all for Christ. Everything she has, her talents, her possessions, she places in service of her Savior. How's God using you? Your personality, your gifts, your resources, your opportunities. No Christian has the same mix or blend. Jesus Christ uses, blesses what he has given to you for the good of his people. Lydia did not come to the church to get. She came to the church to give. Is that your heart? Is that your pursuit? the power of grace in conversion. But secondly, I want you to see more briefly the power of grace in liberation. This unnamed servant girl in verses 16, 17, and 18, we don't know her name. All we're told is she is a slave girl, verse 16. She's as different from Lydia as a person could be. And she is in, as one writer has said, a double bondage. A spirit of divination has taken hold of her. She is possessed by a demon. And then there are her owners. And they are interested in one thing only from her. Much gain through fortune telling. She is a sad and miserable human being, exploited at every turn. And what happens to her? In the providence of God, she meets Paul. And she begins, verse 17, to follow Paul. And she's crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And there comes a point. Paul has just had enough. He's done with it. Why, Paul? Well, for one thing, God doesn't need Satan to do his marketing. And for another thing, look at her message. It raises more questions than it answers. Who is this Most High God? What is this way of salvation? Satan loves to sow doubt and confusion to oppose the gospel. And so Paul, greatly annoyed, verse 18, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out of her that very hour. What happens next? Look at verse 19. Her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone. And what our translators render as "was gone" is the same verb in Greek as verse 18, "came out of her." You see the point. The demon is gone and the prophet is gone. God has freed this girl from the predations of her masters, earthly and demonic. It is a work of mercy to this girl, freed from the possession of the devil. Freed from the one thing that made her attractive to her owners. And it is a billboard for the whole town. What a Savior Jesus Christ is. What compassion and what power to drive out the devil from this girl. As we come to a close, how does this apply to us? You know, you may be asking the question. The commentary certainly did. Was this girl converted? We don't know. But we don't need to know. What we need to know is for us here. That the Lord Jesus Christ, in compassion, freed this young girl from what oppressed and degraded her. And it's a reminder. If you want a parable of sin, here it is. Sin is oppressive. Sin is degrading. Sin is immiserating. And it is where every child of Adam is. Do you know this? She may be an extreme picture, but she is where you are if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is good news. This miracle is a billboard of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did Christ put on display for this whole town to see? That Christ has power over the demons. Jesus Christ came into this world to destroy the works of the devil. To destroy him who has the power of death, even the devil. And Paul can write to believers, it was for freedom that Christ has set you free. You want freedom from bondage to sin. You'll find it nowhere else than in Jesus Christ. And he is willing, the Son of God is willing to make you free. And if you trust in him, you will be free indeed. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been freed. Sin dogs you and fights you. You are not under its dominion. What did it cost the Lord Jesus Christ to do this great thing? And that's Paul. That's what Paul was preaching to the people of Philippi. The Son of God came into this world and he suffered in weakness, not in power. In humiliation and shame, not in glory. And he suffered himself to be tempted by Satan, to be rejected by the world, and to die accursed on that cross. That's the power of God. And he didn't have to. He wanted to. Why in the world would he want to do that? Because he loves sinners. He loves the likes of you and me. And he is the same yesterday and today and forever. Believer in Jesus Christ, that power, that compassion are yours today. And will be tomorrow. And will be forever. So what's so amazing about grace? Let's start with everything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we rejoice in small ways, in big ways, in quiet ways, in visible ways. The Lord Jesus Christ is mighty to save. Forgive us. How easily we lose sight of this. How easily we turn in upon ourselves, brooding, looking for resources to face the sins and temptations and hardships of life. Turn our eyes heavenward. Help us to gaze, whether for the first time, or once again, on the Lord Jesus Christ, our mighty prophet and priest and king. What a good and powerful Savior he is and ever will be. Keep us near to him. May we know his mercy and power to save even in days ahead. And may we, as your servant Lydia, lay all that we have and all that we are at the feet of Jesus Christ. Out of love to him. Out of a longing to see him glorified among men. And this we ask in Christ's name. Amen.